Take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11, if you will. Luke chapter 11. If you need a worksheet, just raise your hand. A guy will come by and give you one if you miss getting a worksheet. And I really want to remind you that on Sunday night during our graduation, it's a regular service too. So you just come. We won't be any longer than normal, and it'll be fine. So I want you to be here and encourage our students. And it looks like we're up about 50% over this year for next fall. We were counting up there, and one family yet, we're still making sure we get a final one, but it looks like we'll be up about 30 students, which is good, and 19 this year. We started with 18 this year, and we ended up with 19, and looks like we're going to have about 30, so that's good. Usually the glut shows up about August. So if you're in Christian education, everybody waits the last minute to decide, you know how that goes. So anyway, it looks good. It looks good. So you pray for all that. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We have, we have some passages that are only in Luke, some things that are only covered in Luke. Now, part of what we're going to show here tonight is in some of the other Gospels, but there's a portion here that we're going to kind of dwell on that is not in the other Gospels, and it's there, and God put it there for a reason. Now, when we get to, and we get in the middle of chapter 11 of Luke, verse 24, it's kind of talking about reformation without salvation. Last time we spoke about verses 27 and 28, it talked about the woman who was kind of proud of her spiritual things, proud of her godly things, but pride is still pride, so we got to be careful with that. And then it says in verse 29, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, we're not going to really cover this passage, but let me read here for you. I'm starting in verse 29, Luke chapter 11, verse 29. It says, when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. So he says, we saw Jonah, and of course he was 3 days in the belly of the whale, and of course Jesus is going to be 3 days in the belly of the earth. Verse 31, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but one of the points he's making here, which is going into the next section, is that people are looking for a sign, something to turn the light on, if you will, to help them understand truth, but God's giving them a sign, but they don't want to see that sign, because, see, that sign tells them that they're sinners. You see, Jonah went into Nineveh and said, 40 days, 40 days, and this whole city's going to go up in smoke. God's going to destroy this city unless you repent. And, of course, Jonah didn't want to go there because he hated those people, and he just knew, sure, shooting. If they go there and preach that God will spare them, they might have mercy or something. God's going to, he said, they're going to just up and repent, and God's not going to do anything against them. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to tell them, but they heard it. They were told that they were wicked. The king decided, he said, we want everybody to repent. They even put sackcloth and ashes on the animals, as if that counts. But the fact is, he did. It just goes to show how sincere his repentance was. His theology, the king of Nineveh, his theology was not great. All he knew was that the God of the universe was going to take him down, and we better get right with God. That's all he knew. And so they repented. We have the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba. And she came looking for Solomon. But he says, there's one better than Solomon here, and you're not looking, you're not seeing. He was the light and the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Back in John 1. The light was being turned on, but they refused to see it. They had something else in their mind. These Pharisees had a religion in their mind. They had a practice in their mind. And they thought that they were enlightened. During the Renaissance, the time of the Enlightenment, as it's called, Man decided he could do anything he wanted to do. And the Renaissance man was the man who was, you know, literate in several different languages, knew his math, knew the social sciences, knew this and knew that, and he was a self-made man. He was the Renaissance man. I can do all things. And they thought that was enlightenment. It was actually a dark time. They weren't being enlightened. They were putting out the real light. So he says we need to understand when the light shows up. Look at verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, that doesn't mean unmarried, it means focused. When the eye is only looking at one thing, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, it's degenerate, it's not clear, it's not sure what it's looking at, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, this is a strange verse here. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. That's a wild little verse there. You're going to have to hang tight with me here this evening. Verse 36, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So the Pharisee, man, he's enlightened. We got to make sure we wash our hands before we eat. Now, there's nothing wrong with washing your hands before you eat. But I don't think I would rebuke Jesus if he didn't. Verse 39, and the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have. And behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe or give 10% of your mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, but not leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens, grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Let's pray, and let's pray, Lord, to help us understand this for you all here tonight. I hope I'll make it clear for you. Let's pray. And we're talking about when light is darkness. When light is darkness. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for your truths. And Lord, often you said that you speak in parables for those who have ears to hear, that they will hear. And those who don't have ears to hear will not hear. The point is, Lord, if everyone in here can choose to have ears to hear, open their heart when you to give themselves over to you, to surrender, and if you speak to their heart through the Holy Spirit, that they will surrender to what you have and do and obey it and take it in, receive it as truth. So, Lord, we pray that we will walk in light and not in darkness. And, Lord, it's a shame, but sometimes folks walk in a light, but the light is not light, it's darkness. May we be discerning and understand. We ask for your Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. I preached a message from this passage about 12 years ago. It was like December of 2004, I think it was. And it's an interesting little passage. I haven't really touched on it much since there. I think a few times I kind of said something in passing. But this is one of those passages that you need to take a close look at in order to understand what he's trying to tell us. Most times, the actual illustration that Jesus is giving us is simple. if we will just allow it to say what it says. That's part of having ears to hear. You see, if we're not willing to accept that we're sinners, for instance, then when he's talking about us being sinners, whoosh, it's going to go right past us because it doesn't make any sense. And so when we have to go to the Word of God, and literally Holy Spirit promises to be our guide, to lead us, to guide us in all truth, Lord, teach us. You say, well, then I'm just going to imagine all kinds of... No, allow him. Don't come up with something that you've conjured up. Let the Word of God talk to you. So let's see what the Word of God has. Now, Jesus is going to remind us of a few basic concepts about light, and then he's going to apply them. Number one, real quick on there, we're going to try to move a couple real quick here. These are the first 2 points. Number one, light is for seeing. Light is for seeing. That's why we need light. I mean, physically we need light because really what light is, it reflects off of something and it comes back into our eye, and our eye senses the frequency and so forth of the light. You see the colors and so forth, but light is for us to be able to see what's going on. That's really what it's about. There's no sense turning on the light if no one's going to see it or benefit from it. I keep telling our folks around the church here, don't leave the light on if you're not going to be in there. I said that with my kids when we were growing up. Don't turn the light off. The light doesn't do any good unless somebody's going to see it. The light is for seeing. Now, on our passage there, Luke 11, letter B, 11:33, it says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The word lighted means to set on fire. No man sets the fire, turns on the candle, if you will. And that word candle, really, it just means the illuminator. It's one that illuminates. It could be a lamp. It could be a candle, as we know, with wax, but not necessarily. A lot of that back in that time wouldn't necessarily have been a wax candle. It simply means an illuminator. So he says, no man, when he has turned on or lit an illuminator, put it in a secret place. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't conceal it. Neither puts it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. He puts it up high so that they which come into the room can see the light. You don't put the light back in a corner behind a curtain. What good is it burning back there? The point is simply this. Light is so you can see. The Lord is a light. He's the light of the world. What does that mean? He's here for us to see truth, to see who God is, to see what life is all about, to see our sin, to see salvation. He's the light to turn it all on so that we can understand how God planned on this world to work. There's no sense lighting the candle if you're going to cover or hide the light. The job of the candle, the job of the illuminator, is to give light. That's what Jesus was. Letter C. Light shows us where we have been. Light shows us where we've been. You turn on the light, you can see where we've been physically. Light shows us where we are. Letter D. And it sounds silly, but I want you to think about this. His parables are not that difficult. The problem is we want to conjure up a bunch of stuff and put a lot of religion. I can't tell you how many times I've said in the last 13 years since I've been up here, man makes religion difficult. God didn't make faith difficult. Man makes religion difficult. We put this on and this on and this on, and we're walking around with blinders on because we were taught this by grandma and this by grandpa, and we wonder about this by the guy who lives on the other side of the hill, and we've got this on radio, and we've got Dr. Phil, and we've got Oprah, and we've got The View and The Real and the Talk and all this crazy stuff, and even I like Steve Harvey, but he's even got his show, little show there. He's trying to fix everybody. Listen, there's one light of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. And here's his book. Here it is right here. And if it doesn't go along with that, well, then don't listen to it because it's not light at all. Letter E, light shows us what is ahead of us. Light reveals. Letter F, light allows us to ascertain, A-S-C-E-R-T-A-I-N, ascertain whether we have done well or not. You turn on the light, it reveals the situation. It turns on reality, whether we like reality or not. You know, you go out to a nice candlelight dinner, you know. Everybody looks a whole lot better in the candlelight. You ever notice that? And you go outside and you turn on the bright lights and we all come back to reality. All right. You know why? Because it's shady. And you really can't see everything for what it is. And so we see what we want to see. What we can't see, we imagine. It's like people who get married. They fantasize about all the good things. And then, love is blind. Marriage is a real eye-opener. All of a sudden, reality sits in. And you think, I never thought about my spouse doing that. I just never thought about this, never thought about that. I never saw her without her makeup. We saw this gal on the news. They were talking about some comedian who said some things she shouldn't have said, and she's a foul-mouthed comedian anyway. But anyway, they showed her during her stand-up, and then they showed her apologizing for something she did, and she didn't have her makeup on the second time. Oh, my soul. It was amazing how different it was. You know, light helps us to ascertain what's going on. Letter G, light allows us to see if we need to change directions. It shows us where we've been, it shows us where we are, and shows us where we're headed. All of a sudden you turn on the light on, you say, whoa, I didn't think I was here. I thought I was over there. You turn on the light, it changes things. It shows us reality. Number two, we choose whether to allow the light in or not. We choose whether to allow the light in or not. This is common sense, folks, but fact is we forget about this. The verse says in verse 34, it says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Now, the word single simply means it's all working together as it's supposed to. Now, I'm getting to the point, it's not my eyes, but my arms are becoming short. Some of you have been there. Used to be right here, but now my arms are short, and they're getting shorter all the time. In fact, sometimes they're too close, and that's not good, and they're too, you know what I mean? They're degenerating. Really, that's what that word evil means, degenerate. It just means it's not right. It's not working at the right capacity. It's hurtful to the situation. It's causing problems to the situation, not helping. You follow what I'm saying? So it says here, it says that the illuminator, the light of the body is the eye. What lets light in is the eye. Again, he's using an illustration here. Therefore, when the eye is single, when everything's focused, it's focused on, it's working together, then your whole body is full of light. I know of folks who have had cataracts done, and once they're done, they said, I can't believe how bright the light is, because it actually kind of puts a callus over top of your eye, and you really don't realize how dull things have become. And all of a sudden, they fix it. I remember when my mom got her ear, she was almost deaf in one ear. Every time she had a baby, calcium would build up, and it clogged up the bones, and they wouldn't work. And so she went in there and took the eardrum out. This was years ago. I was like 11, and they put a little wire in there for the bone, and they took a vein out of there and made a new eardrum. The next day she woke up and said, "Is everything always this loud? I couldn't sleep. Everything was good. The air conditioner in the hospital, the cars outside, the birds woke me up this morning. I couldn't sleep. Is everything always this loud?" And so the same thing goes with our eyes. When things are working, we can see well. Now he says, when everything's fine, your whole body is full of light. Your body knows what's going on. You're not living in the dark. But when the eye is evil, it's degenerate, it's causing problems. The body also is full of darkness. It's shady. It's obscured. In other words, life is not clear. You think you're seeing some things, but you're not sure. Watch this. The light doesn't change. It's not the light that changed. The difference is our willingness to come and see and use the light provided. You don't put glasses on your heart. You don't need glasses on your heart. Your heart's working just fine. We can close our eyes to the light. Let her see. We need to make sure we are receiving light, watch this, and not darkness. That what's coming into us is light and not darkness. The way they use that term just simply means shady, obscured. Are we really seeing what we think we're seeing? Letter D. Shady light, the darkness, can be more dangerous than total darkness. Let me say that again. Letter D. Shady light can be more dangerous than total darkness because we think we can see, but we can't see right. That's kind of like when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're going to make your way over to the bathroom, you know, and you don't want to wake up just kind of this, you know, and you still break a toe. You thought you saw it. You knew it where it was. No, you didn't know where it was. You ever go out on a vacation and you do that and you're in a hotel and it's dark at night, and when you wake up, you forgot that you're in a hotel room? And you're heading this way, and you think you can see something, and you recognize that something's in your bedroom, but it's not. And you're heading someplace you weren't planning on going. You thought you knew where you were going. The problem is your eyes weren't open. It was shady in there, and you weren't seeing what you're supposed to see. The problem is, if we're not careful, we'll think we're following truth, but our eyes aren't open. We're walking in enough shadiness, we see a few things, and it sounds good. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I want to say this. Because I've heard it way so many times over the years. Well, he talked about Jesus, so it must be okay. Satan talked about Jesus. Well, he mentioned God. Well, good for him. What God? You know, you got to be. We had one here that a while back, and I said Allah is not Jehovah. Jehovah God means the self-existing one, the Lord God Jehovah. He is the God. There is no other God. He is the God, Lord Jehovah. Let's say, well, over that way, they just call God Allah. That's the word for God. The word for God in the Hebrew is Elohim. I'm not talking about a God. I'm talking about Jehovah, and Allah is not Jehovah. And so I'm not trying to be mean. That's just the facts. They're not the same thing. And to be honest with you, if you find somebody who actually believes the Quran, I don't think they think that Jehovah is the same God as Allah either. I know for sure they don't think Jesus Christ is God. So what I'm saying here is, partial light can actually be more dangerous than total darkness, because when you're in total darkness, you know you can't see. I mean, I've had people come through over the years who they didn't have any idea what was in the Bible. Well, I'm not here to dupe them. I'm not here to lead them astray. I want to take them right to the book. Let us see from the book what it says. In fact, that's a wonderful thing, because you don't have to unteach them all these crazy things they've been taught all their life. Some of them think they're in bad shape. Janet was like that, my wife. She didn't know much about the Bible at all. She told me about the first time she was reading through the Bible and said, that's where the story of Noah comes from. She read that thing. It was all brand new to her. She was 23 years old. She didn't know any of this stuff. All she decided was the Word of God has been around for a long time, and this is God's Word, and I'm going to believe it. That's all she did. And you know what happened? She became Baptist. She sure enough did. I remember looking through the book and trying to find out what this crazy thing about baptism is. I was sprinkled as a baby, so was she. And we looked at it and studied, knew what we found. Exactly the same thing as in our Constitution and bylaws. With everybody else here would say the same thing. You baptize because of identification with Christ. I said, it was like, well, it doesn't save you, but you're supposed to do it. And so we were in, she was more than me. I was saved, but she was in darkness. But she knew she was in darkness. The problem is if we get in the middle of religion, that's where we live. A lot of religion, superstitions. And they'll add all this stuff together. And we think we're walking in light, but we're walking in shadiness. And we're not seeing truth of what it is. It's kind of like driving at dusk. You know how it is? It's dusk. It's just like you know, the sun's almost down, not quite down, you know, but and the problem is it's gradually getting darker all the time. And our eyes are constantly having to adjust to the darkness. If I'm saying the sun's going down, so it's getting darker all the time. And our eyes can't quite keep up with it, so everything's just a little bit shady. What helps to direct our way through this world physically? Our eye. Our physical eye is the lamp or the illuminator of the body. And when our eye is single, focused on one thing, clear, unimpaired, the body's full of illumination. It knows the situation. It comprehends and sees the circumstances. It's clear and well understood. But when our eyes are degenerate, sending fallible signals, then what comes into our body is not pure communication, but misrepresentations of the facts and the situations and the circumstances. And at this point, we can't make good decisions. We don't know what to do because we're basing our decisions on faulty information. And we might as well be walking in the dark. Same thing we do with our faith in God. Letter E. I've mentioned this before, but I just want to put it in here while we're here. Light hurts when we've been walking in the dark. I know I've talked about God. This is not just a neat coincidence. I mean, God knew what He was doing when He invented the body and He created us, you know, and put us all in there, and what was going to view the magnificence of what it is. And the fact is, when you're walking in the dark, and then someone turns a light on you, oh my soul, turn that thing down. It hurts. I've actually felt my eyes hurt when the light's too bright and I've been walking in the dark because it's trying to adjust. And the fact is, there are people who think, you know, in fact, I was able to get around. Sometimes you get up in the middle of the night, my eyes have actually adjusted. I can kind of see. And I think I can probably see better than I can see, but I can kind of see. But you turn that light on, all of a sudden I can't see a thing. All of a sudden it's like, well, you turn the light on, now I can't see. No, but wait a little bit. Get used to it. Let yourself adjust to the light, and all of a sudden you'll see that you'll see in a whole lot better than you were when you were in the dark. See, life is like that. You follow what I'm saying here? Number three, we need to determine if the light is showing us all we need to see. We need to determine if the light is showing all we need to see. Are you seeing the light or are you looking through the shadiness? Look at verse 11:35. He says, take heed. Take heed, therefore, because of what we've just learned so far, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. He said, you bet. He said, watch out, watch closely, look at this, consider, make sure, line it up with the book. If you want to listen, if you want to know if a stick is crooked, put it right up next to a straight stick. Well, it looks pretty crooked to me. That looks pretty straight to me. No, I think it's all right. No. Put it next to something that's straight. Watch closely. Therefore, that the light, that which is doing the manifesting, the illuminating, make sure the light that's in you be not shady. Is it really bright or is it not bright? Is it giving you a true vision of what's there or is it not? Is it giving you a complete picture or is it not? Is it obscuring certain things and putting in a shadow and then there's something there but you can't see it? Sometimes you can't just take the word of others about light. Examine the light and make sure it's not darkness. Make sure that that which is doing the manifesting is light, making things clear, and not darkness, which obscures the shades of truth. Satan did that to Eve. He was talking about the light, the word of God, what God had said, but he only gave part of it. He made it, he's a shady character. See what I'm saying? He did the same thing to Jesus at the temptations, Matthew 4. He quotes scripture. And Jesus said, yeah, I know, but did you read the rest of the story? That's not all it says. Let's turn on the light on the whole passage here. You're only letting a little part of it come out to the light here, Mr. Satan. We need to make sure. With darkness, you cannot see everything. And thus, you cannot see that you cannot see. You say, well, I know, I'm sure some of it's not right, but I'm okay. I can handle this. Turn on the light. Get in there where you can see it. My dad had when we were cleaning out his shop, he had this thing that was a big old thing with an arm that he would bring out because, like me, his eyes, you know, were not all what they should have been anymore. And it was a magnifying glass with a light that shone on the object. At the same time, it was magnifying it so that he could see for sure what he was doing. Now, he was doing that to fix an antique car. Wouldn't it be nice that we were that particular about knowing the Word of God? Well, that's pretty close. It'd be all right. Well, this is what I've always heard. There's a lot of folks who live in sorrow. They live in stress because somebody down the road, somewhere along the way, told them thus and so. And now they're worried about it, and it's so far from the truth, you can't believe it. But it's some little little snippet of darkness that was thrown in to religion years ago, and everybody's trying, they're perpetuating it. It's amazing how well they remember the falsehoods better than the truth. It's just amazing. It's amazing. With darkness, we can't see where we're going and where we're getting hurt. You've had someone turn the lights out on you in the restroom back here. Have you ever had anybody have the lights go out on you back here? That ain't good. I mean, it's pitch black. I mean, it's as dark as the inside of a black cat at midnight. I mean, it's dark. Light is needed to navigate our way, and the more light, the better. Number four. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to get a little side light here. I'm not going to get to our example tonight, are we? Number four. We need to make sure that we are emitting, E-M-I-T-T-I-N-G, emitting light and not darkness. We need to make sure that we are emitting light and not darkness. Letter A. Each of us shed light of some kind. People follow us. They hear. We are to be the light of the world as Christ is the light of the world. Christ is the body of Christ. Jesus is now in heaven. We are his body here on earth. We're the light of the world. Letter B. Some light is clear and shows every pitfall and stumbling block. Some light is clear. Letter C. Some light is darkness. That is, it has shadiness. It actually hinders our sight. Letter D. We need to make sure we are focused on truth and not focused on error. Focused on truth. Some light is clear, some is shady, but make sure it's focused on truth. We also need to make sure that when we are trying to see truth, that we're truly focused and seeing it for what it really is, and not just what we quickly perceive that it is. People, I can't tell you how many people, you know, they're having trouble. Instead of, you're here tonight. See, this is so smart. Because you say, well, I've never had a problem with this. How do you know you're not gonna? So you're here learning the Word of God so that you can make a decision now, so when the problems come up, we don't make some knee-jerk reaction or go back here and try to find some verse and take it out of context and claim that verse. I've seen people take a verse and claim a verse. That's the verse. It has nothing to do. Janet, well, there was a it's a good church. it's a good church. They were having a ladies' meeting. And it had a title, theme for the ladies' meeting. And, they all meant well. And they had this verse, and they pulled this verse up, and it sounded like, well, there it is, right there. You put it in context, the verse was actually saying the opposite of what they were saying it was saying. It's a shame. But they saw that verse, and it called on there. Their light was darkness. Now, they didn't teach the wrong thing. They really didn't. But the fact is, the theme had nothing to do, that verse had nothing to do with their theme. It just happened to have the word in it. And we claim it. You can't do that. That's why we're here. That's why we're studying the Word of God. I don't want to come back and do this again. So I think I can do it fast. We'll just because you don't really have much left. You don't have any more, do you? Good. All right. Then let's just walk through this passage real quick to see the example. Verse 37. I want you to see an example of light that is darkness. Verse 37. Now he just taught what we just went through verse 36. Comes to verse 37 and says, "As he spake." Now, he was teaching this. There was no accident that as he spake, this was going to happen so the people could stand there. You know, you always can see the fault of somebody else easier than your own. So the people that were there were going to see it in reality so that they can sense it and understand. Look what he says here. Verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Now, the Pharisees were focused on the picture of righteousness. Keep things clean. The Old Testament, wash and all this. Then you were supposed to. If you talk about all the rituals during the sacrifices, you wash your hand here and then you wash it here. You're supposed to be clean. But that's a picture of righteousness. It's not righteousness. It's not the real thing. It's a picture of it. What if Janet was sitting here, but I had a picture in my wallet here, and I kissed it? Just, beautiful. She's sitting right there. But what are you doing, kissing a picture? The gals, the real thing is sitting right over here. That's where religion, see, and he's telling us, religion can look like light. And it does, really, the ritual was designed to give us light, but it's not the full light. And to the point where we're focusing on the picture, so what we're actually doing is we don't have light, we have darkness. To the point where they focused on the picture of righteousness and not on Jesus, our righteousness, to the point that they actually thought they were better than Jesus. They were reproving Jesus. Verse 40, ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all the things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Oh, you look like you're so wonderful. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. He says, you're almost like walking through one of those old-time graveyards, and it's already rotted, and you're walking over that thing starts giving away. He says, it's nothing down there but dirt. Oh, you're walking. You think everything's just fine. What's down deep is dead. Our goal, watch. Our goal is not to fix the outside. because fixing the outside is going to send folks to hell because they think they're clean before God and fit to go into his presence. Because look at us. No one has ever been made righteous by the keeping of the law. It is not what we look like, though that will eventually be an indicator, by the fruit you shall know them. But if you dress up a pig, you still have a pig. The pig needs to become a lamb, and only God can change the heart of a pig. We must allow God to clean the inside, and the outside will change too. We are not Christians because we look like Christians. We want the outside clean, but that's an outward expression of the cleaning on the inside. Our goal is not to form a society that looks like us. Whether that be considered staid and conservative or casual and cool, we are to allow the Lord to have his way in saving us and sanctifying us into what he wants us to be and not what we think he wants. We must be careful. Watch, for instance, here, not to focus on the law. Now, the law, listen, it is not that the law is not good. The law is righteous. But no one can keep the whole law. That's the point. It's the schoolmaster to teach us that all have sinned and that we've all broken the law at one point. We're guilty of it all. The law is light to show us our sin, not to shade us so the sin is obscured. You see, some people actually cover themselves with the law and think they look good. But if you brought it to the light, if you open up that old sepulcher, there's nothing in there but a bunch of dead men's bones. The law was used, but that law, and the law was light. But we're making the light darkness because we're now looking at the light and not at what the light is showing us. See, light is made for us to see. If you spend your life looking at the light, you're not going to see what the light was supposed to be illuminating. Just because no one in our church curses or gets drunk or does drugs or other such things doesn't mean we have a righteous church or even a saved church for that matter. The lawyers focus on trying to seem to have kept the law, but following a bunch of rules only makes one proud, and pride is sin. The light is actually darkness. Now, I'm not saying you don't do right. You do right. But you're doing right, but we're doing right because we're seeing the light. Righteousness comes when God cleans us up on the inside and then the inside starts showing up on the outside. Our focus is not to be on the outward appearance, though that will change. Our focus is not to be on the outward actions of keeping the appearance of the law. When we cast a spotlight on the outward appearance, we're not casting light on the truth. If we're not casting light on the truth, then we are drawing attention away from the truth and into something shady. In doing so, we might as well be walking in the darkness because we're blind leading the blind and we're all going to fall into the pit. This is what he's been saying. It's what he says. We think we're walking in light, but the light is darkness. Either way, they're all going to fall. What we think is light is actually darkness. We need to direct the attention of others toward Jesus and the righteousness that he will impute on us if that is where we want folks to go. To direct our attention anywhere else, even on good things like our appearance or the law of God, is to do as much damage as turning out the light altogether. Maybe even more because they think, well, look at me. What do you mean? Look at me. I'm as righteous as anybody. Look, I even got a hanky just for show, not for blow. Look at that. I'm a righteous person. No! Means nothing. Either way, they're going to get hurt. Did I give you did I do number 6 and 7? Yeah, I did. All right. You were lying to me. You said, well, all the truths, all the blanks were done, didn't you? Number 6. The light is to shine on the truth. The light is to shine on the truth, which in our case is God and salvation, Jesus Christ. And number 7, light is not designed to be looked at. The light is not designed to be looked at. We're supposed to be seeing what the light is shining on. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on here, but some years ago I did a whole bunch of messages on the tabernacle. And there's a candlelight, there's a candlestick there that sits on a table next to the showbread. That pictures Christ. The light is when you walk in there, the light is making sure we see Jesus. That's what it's all about. When we as the light become the focus, our light actually becomes darkness. Look at me. When our light actually makes dark, when our light actually makes darkness rather than dispelling the darkness, I hate to say this, I'm just got a couple verses here. God might put your light out. Let me say that again. When our light is making darkness rather than dispelling darkness, sometimes he puts us out. Job 18:6 says, "Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him." 21:17 says, "How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them?" Proverbs 24:20, "And there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." Jeremiah 25:8-10, "If we refuse to follow the light," you can go back and read it, "but if we refuse to follow the light of the candle long enough, God will blow it out." You better be careful. We've got to be careful. He doesn't want us going around spreading darkness rather than light. I did it. We're okay. Don't let your light be darkness. How do you know whether it's light? Compare it to the Word of God. Thy Word is a light unto my path. This is light. Father, again, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the light that we have in it. Lord, may we just determine to make sure that everything lines up with your light. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they haven't gotten that settled, may they settle that this evening. If there's someone here that maybe in the midst of the message you kind of spoke to their heart and they've been spreading a dark light, if you will, spreading darkness rather than light, and you spoke to their heart, May you draw them to you yourself and encourage them to confess it, forsake it, and turn them to the light. Lord, speak to our hearts. We need you. We want this to be a lighthouse, a shining light. This is, we said, a home for everyone here and a light to the world. We want it to be a light, but our light better be light, not darkness. Thank you for what you're going to do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, and we're going to turn to 261. Let's stand to our feet. The